Connect Times podcast, where we bring you inspiring stories of individuals and organizations making a positive impact in the world. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. Today, we have a very special episode in store for you.
Joining us today is a remarkable individual whose dedication and compassion have transformed the lives of countless children and families. Pasito de Luz is a nonprofit organization based in Mexico. It provides comprehensive support and care for children with disabilities and their families, empowering them to lead fulfilling lives despite their challenges.
Please welcome the communications event manager of Pasitos de Luz, a beacon of hope for those in need, Chris Jacobs.
Chris, can you share with us what is Pasitos de Luz and how do you guys serve the community in Puerto Vallarta?
Hello, yeah. Good morning. Good morning from Puerto Vallarta. Good to be here. So Pasitos de Luz, which means little steps of light in Spanish. We're a 100% Mexican charity that started here in Puerto Vallarta 24 years ago, specifically to help single mums with children with disabilities here in the region of Puerto Vallarta and now Riviera Nayarit. So we exist to help mums and now low-income families have a place for their kids Monday to Friday, absolutely no cost, where the kids have everything that they need to progress, to become more independent, and to have a much better quality of life. We see all kinds of disabilities, everything from cerebral palsy to Down syndrome to learning disabilities to autism spectrum conditions here in, like in any part of the world, there's a lot of need for people with disabilities, place for them to go, and especially here where a lot of single mums, but also low-income families, the parents are working really long hours in the tourism industry. They needed a place for the kids that they could go out to work and provide for their families. And also the kids needed a place where they could express themselves and have their therapies and their classes and just the love they need to become the best version of themselves. And so Pasito de Luz, I think we're the second longest running charity in the whole of Puerto Vallarta. And that's no mean feat. In a country where the charity sector is quite new, it's not as long established as it is in other parts of the world, and so it's amazing that Pasito de Luz is here for hundreds of kids in the area. That's Pasito de Luz in a nutshell.
We love it. You know, Chris, we've done a lot of podcast interviews, you know, we've met with people from all over the world, but your organization holds a very special place in our hearts because Tim and myself and our entire team at Modern Travel Works was able to go ahead and volunteer with you guys. And to be honest, we didn't know what to expect, right? We set it up through a local DMC. They helped us get in touch with you guys, and you guys were so welcoming. All we know that we were going to show up and we were going to help some kids, but we didn't know what it looked like, right? So whenever we got onto your guys's land or the facility, one, we were just mind blown of how spacious it was, how beautiful it was. And then whenever we got there, they said, hey guys, you guys are going to be greeting the kids. And we're like, okay, what does that mean, right? So we set up all, you know, the wheelchairs and stuff outside, and then the kids started coming off the bus and we were cheering them on like celebrities, like, and their smiles were just insane. They were so excited to see us, we were excited to see them. And that was our first interaction at your facility. Then, you know, the entire team was able to go inside and serve breakfast and interact. And I think we made little mini BFFs as well, too, because some of the kids didn't want to go to the classes. From what we understood, they wanted to hang out with us. So it was an amazing experience. And I just want to thank you, thank all the team members that work there, and also just the kids, because it will forever be ingrained with us. And we definitely look forward to working, you know, coming back and volunteering with you guys, because it was an amazing experience. So just wanted to throw a little story time in there just to give you guys credit on like what you guys are doing and special it truly is. So, Tim, I'll let you take over on the questions.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Crystal said. It was the best part of our trip and everybody agreed. It was just an amazing experience. And, you know, as we were sitting out greeting everyone, I was amazed your team goes and picks up all the kids and then brings them to the facility, which is awesome. I'm sure it'd be more convenient, you know, for the kids to attend a local school, but that of course probably has its own set of challenges with them having disabilities. So can you talk about, you know, some of your kids, how they've struggled to integrate into regular schools and kind of which brings them to Pasito de Luz?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Mexico has a public school system and it's free. It, like any developed or semi-developed country, it's there, it's available, but it's by no means set up to be integrated. When I first arrived in Mexico, actually, I arrived as an English language teacher in a local school. And a lot of my students were learning to be teachers, and they wanted to invite me to their placement schools, and I would be like the English celebrity to go and talk to all their students. And we were talking about classes about like 60 students and stuff. And some of these very rural schools or small schools in small towns, but barely enough desks for each student. So the schools are just about there for the students without special needs, but there's absolutely no allowances for students with special needs. That's a very common question when people come and visit us. They say, why aren't these guys in schools? Why aren't they in their local school? And I can say we have parents who have tried. So there's a girl called Alondra, who's now in her late teens. She has a learning disability and a few kind of behavioral challenges. And her parents enrolled her into a local school. She was going, but then the other parents started to complain. It wasn't the students. The other parents started to complain that she was disrupting, that she wasn't integrating, that she was making a lot of noise, and there's still some attitudes and some taboos around and the disability in Mexico that need to be addressed, and so Alondra's mum and dad felt pressured to take her out of the school. So that's a really sad case. When she came to us, that's why we're there for kids that either a physical disability or a learning or psychological issue haven't been able to integrate into their local school. There we're there for them, and Pasito de Luz is aimed as a place where kids can come and we have classrooms, we have therapies, we have psychologists, and so we're in theory we love kids to come and be with us for 6 months, a year, and address some of their challenges, and then we have children that then go into their local school, and we have a little girl called Isis, who has a learning disability, and she graduated from Pasito de Luz last year, and now she's going strong in her local elementary school. Her dad is a clown, that's his job, and so we saw her for Dia de Niño, that's her kids' day, last month. They came and did a performance, and Isis said she's loving being at her local school, and she was really grateful to Pasito de Luz for giving her the opportunity to kind of progress. So yeah, it's not easy in Mexico. Anyone who comes here will just see the pavements or the sidewalk, shall I say, and the buses, and it's not a very accessible place. And so that's Pasito de Luz, is just a place where we do not discriminate whatsoever against any kind of disability. And it's where kids can come and be themselves, make mistakes, be who they are, and we're there to give them the tools to socialize, to integrate, and we have children who have gone on to find work as well. I remember a little boy, Jesus, when I first volunteered 10 years ago, he's now working in a carpenter's and like assistant in a carpenter's, and he's loving that. So that's why we're here, really, to help those kids have the best life possible.
That's beautiful. I mean, that has to just fill your heart, being able to see you have some, you know, help and you know, bringing these kids, you know, to their future and helping them along. And, you know, your facility, as Crystal mentioned, as I mentioned, it's great. You know, there's a lot of different areas. Can you go into detail about kind of the story of the facility and the different services that you offer there?
Yeah, I mean, when I came to Pasito de Luz 10 years ago, I just came as a volunteer from England to help for a few months. And we were in what we call the casita, which is the little house, which is where Pasito de Luz first started all those years ago. A tiny little place full of little classrooms and the kitchen, a really tiny kitchen, little therapy area, plunge pool therapies, and 40 kids just crammed in. And I was blown away. But then, while I was there, and this was 2013, I kept hearing about this new project that was happening that they were telling me about called the Castle. And I'm like, what on earth is the Castle? El Castillo. And they were like, well, this is the future. This is where Pasitos de Luz is going to be moving into in a few years' time. And I was thinking, okay, this sounds exciting. It sounds just what we needed, more space, a modern facility. And so I was invited to go out and see it that time. And we drove out, we drove a bit more, and we left Puerto Vallarta. We crossed into Nayarit, which is the next state up from Jalisco, Riviera Nayarit, which is now a very, very lovely area. We turned onto these dirt roads, and I'm thinking, where are we going? And about half an hour from Puerto Vallarta, we eventually pulled into this big big lot, this big space, and there were these walls going up and little turrets I could see, and what is now called Casa Connaught was being built. And it was just, I could see the walls, I could see a couple of the turrets. They were kind of laying out the entrance with the car park and stuff. And they said, this is going to be a facility for 100 kids per day. It's going to have everything from consultation rooms to therapy space to classrooms, kind of hotel sized kitchen, a dining room. It's going to have everything. And it sounded like an amazing project. But at that time, it still seemed a bit of a fairy tale. They said, this is going to cost about $1 million to finish. And I said, how is it happening? And they said, well, there's this project happening in Calgary, in Canada, a family who wanted to build a facility in Mexico in honor of their grandson, Connor. And up in Calgary, the community was everything from the hockey team, the football team and the community. They were doing fundraisers, everything possible to raise money for this facility because they wanted to do something for the kids here with disabilities that people have in Canada, that Connor had in Canada. And so it was one of those things that were just kind of bits and pieces were happening. And when I came back to visit in 2017, when I was told it was finished, I was just blown away when I went to visit and it was all there. And this is where you came to Casa Connaught, which is a beautiful facility. It's a white castle. It just rises out of fields when you're driving there. And now, yeah, each day we have four classrooms. We have a dining area where the kids have their breakfast and they have lunch later on. We have a therapy pool. And we have a huge garden where kids go out and learn about papaya and mango and we have little animals and stuff, little pigs and goats. So it really is like a Disney castle, but for children specifically with disabilities. But it's also just a great place for kids. And we love to have local schools come and the kids with disability, kids without special needs interacting with our kids. And we have families that come on holiday. They also come out to visit, spend a day with us. And so it really is like a cross-border project. And we now have a board that is made up of Americans, Canadians, and Mexicans. It really is a special project. Brings communities together all the way up to Canada and here in Mexico.
And also so special that it brought you there as well. So I know people are listening and is like, yeah, he doesn't have a Mexican accent. So what's the story? What was the draw to this specific nonprofit for you and has kept you there for so long?
Yeah, I'm from the UK, originally from Mascot, which is a little town about an hour from London near Windsor. It's where they do the horse racing, Royal Ascot. Very different to Mexico. And I studied Spanish from high school. When I was 13, I had my first ever Spanish class. I was desperate to learn because we'd been going on holiday to Spain year on year and I couldn't understand a word they were saying. So I really wanted to learn. And I realized that was my passion, languages. And that's my perrito. I've adopted a dog here. And so I realized, yeah, Spanish was my passion. And my dad, I lived in Mexico in the 70s, and so I always had it in my mind to visit, to see what my dad was talking about. And then, yeah, many years later, I started to volunteer. I was working in book publishing, which I really enjoyed, but living in Oxford in my spare time, I wanted to do something extra. I felt that just going in and marketing kind of reference and textbooks was enjoyable, but didn't kind of like fill me with the passion that I wanted. And so I started volunteering in my spare time in Oxford. They had a charity that was like a befriending charity, and you go and visit isolated people in the community. So maybe people with MS. So I was visiting a lady with MS, multiple sclerosis, a chap with Alzheimer's whose wife wanted a bit of time to go for evening classes. And then I started to find out about disabilities and the challenges people were going through. I really developed a passion for that. And then I came up for some sabbatical time for my job, and I had 6 months to go to anywhere in the world and dedicate 6 months to volunteering project. And it was obviously going to be Mexico. I went there during my degree when I was studying languages, fell in love with it literally from like the first day that we arrived in Mexico City, and we were going to the Zócalo, and it was just all this crazy energy in Mexico City and nothing I ever experienced. And so it was always going to be Mexico. I wanted somewhere hot. I mean, I was fed up with the drizzle in London and wanted somewhere hot with a beach, but also with a lot going on in terms of nonprofits. And so Puerto Vallarta just grabbed my attention. It's obviously a place where we have a big expat community, Canadians, Americans. And so I saw there were lots of projects going on. There were animal welfare. There were projects for older people, for isolated adults, and then I found a project run by a British lady, which was in poor neighborhoods, building sports facilities for young people, so basketball courts and football pitches. So I said I really like to help. She said it's a bit complicated here in these neighborhoods. It's a bit dangerous, but we know another project for kids, and they really need someone with Spanish and English, because they're doing little fundraisers, and they have their pool of donors and newsletters. And so they just said Pasitos de Luz. So a couple of, back in those days, Skype calls. And I was invited over, and I just flew in from Dallas, Fort Worth, got picked up, didn't really know what I was going to be doing. But it was the trip that changed my life, really. And I ended up volunteering at Pasitos de Luz in the old facility for 6 months. Walked in there on the first day, couldn't believe what I was seeing. All these kids with all sorts of different disabilities, little kids with Down syndrome running around, having a great time. Other kids with more severe disabilities just being cared for, kept comfortable, having their nutritious meals, going in the little therapy pool. I knew that this was the place for me. At that time, I went home. Carried on my life in England, in Oxford, and London, but it was always there as something I'd go back to. And then when I was invited back, and I was told that the new facility was up and running, Casa Connor, that there's so much going on, they needed help, they needed someone with English and Spanish to come in. And they said, Chris, would you like to come and work for us? And so that's where I said, a big sí, por favor. And then I was just waiting for my visa, my work visa, and came back in April 2018, and now it's just over 5 years later. Yeah, and I'm here. I'm loving living in Mexico. Got my residency now. Bought a house. Got a dog. Run a marathon. So it's changed my life. And in about half an hour, I'll be going into work into Pasitos de Luz. And as Tim said, the kids will get off the bus, and they're all excited to arrive and have their day at the castle. And each day is just I think today they might be going in the pool. Yesterday they had a temazcal, which is like a traditional Mexican sweat lodge, which the kids love. It's really a dream come true for me.
I love hearing the background stories, right? And how the stars align, and how, you know, things always happen at, you know, different times in your life when you least expect it. Like you said, you showed up, you didn't know what to expect, and then you were hooked, right? So that's kind of what happened with us whenever we came to volunteer as well. I know that you've helped, you know, hundreds of kids over the past, you know, few years. Is there a specific maybe kid that's like touched your heart, or a specific story that stands out to you guys that really paints the picture for the impact that you guys are doing there?
Just the other day, I spoke to one of my colleagues, who's one of our teachers. She's also one of our moms. She's a single mom. And her son, Darío, he's enrolled at Pasitos de Luz. He's blind. He gives the best hugs. He's just a lovely little boy. He always recognizes me when I say hello, and he always asks which necklace I'm wearing. So I'm always wearing some kind of crazy necklace, and he likes to kind of grab it and say, oh, what's that made of? And anyway, I thought, well, I really like to get know a bit more about the background to this family. And so I sat down with his mum, Elizabeth, and she started to tell me about her story. And it really, it's really the reason we're here. Because so she had twin boys when she was 14 years old. And one of them, they're born prematurely, 27 weeks. And both were put into incubators. Dadio was in an incubator for 55 days. And unfortunately, while he survived, he was left blind, which can happen in those situations, I think due to the amount of oxygen that they put in there. And Elizabeth, she said to me, it was really difficult. I wasn't prepared. I kind of rejected him. I was just a girl, really. And so it was a really tough time for me. They went on to have one more child, and then partner left her. So we're talking about a mum who was about 18 years old with three children, one of whom is blind. So you can imagine the kind of challenges that she was facing. And she said that, yeah, he did go into a regular school. She said it was going well, but he just started to be left behind with the learning. And as we've discussed before, there's no special ed assistance or anything like that. So he started to be left behind, feel isolated. And Ellie was thinking, she really wanted him to learn Braille, and he hated to use his stick. He didn't want to use it. So when the teacher at her school said, look, I know this other place, it's called Pasitos de Luz, and they actually have a teacher there, a therapist who's blind, who specifically teaches kids who are also blind. He shows them how to use their stick, he teaches them Braille, and that's my colleague Ellie Sound, who's our massage therapist, who's actually been at Pasitos de Luz for 15 years. He's an amazing guy, again, born blind, but has had an incredible life. And so Elizabeth and Darío, they arrived last year. Darío started last year, and yeah, it's just been an amazing progression for him. He's now his walking stick's like his prized possession. He always wants to know where it is, because he loves navigating the Castillo, and every day you'll see him with Eliseo, kind of being shown how to use his walking stick, going into the garden, and he's also taking his braille, so his braille, and it's just another big thing to mention is that we're also a local employer. So Elizabeth, his mum is now one of our teachers, so she now works at Pasitos de Luz full time. She's now 25. She's a really great teacher in the classroom, and it means that she now earns a wage, but Daddy is coming Monday to Friday with us. And it just really helped her survive, really. Look after other two children who are now at school, go to regular school. And that's really the kind of family that we're here to help. Mum, who was the age of 14, had a twin boys, one with a disability, and now 25, and really trying to make the most of her life despite everything that's happened. And it's also one of those things where you have a colleague that you just say hello to and you get to know a bit. And then when you hear the real story, it's kind of like blows you away, really. So that's exactly why we're here. And there's so many stories like that. Pasitos de Luz.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Chris. How can listeners get involved? Pasitos de Luz.
The easiest thing, just ping us an email. We'd love to hear from you. info@pasitosdeluz.org, or just Google Casa Connor, Puerto Vallarta, Pasitos de Luz, because we just love people to come out. We're about 25 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. We are very close to Bucerías, to Nuevo. Sayulita is only half an hour away. And we love people to either come out for a visit or just come or volunteer for a morning. You'll have the best day ever. It will make your trip, I promise you that. It will be a unique experience that you can go home and say, I was in Mexico and, yeah, I was in the hotel. I ate loads of good food, but I also spent the day at this charity. You can come and volunteer in the classroom as well. We love volunteers to help with breakfast. You can help feed the kids, which is a really unique experience. Kind of some of our kids need help to eat, so you can help them have their first meal of the day. And then you can help in our classrooms. We have games and puzzles and all sorts of stuff. Or you can help in the nursery with the little kids and take them for walks and read to them in the library, or if you just want to get outdoors and get a bit of sun, we have a big garden, we have a team out there, and we love people to come and help with projects, building paths and repairing things and watering the plants and all that kind of stuff. And so we love volunteers, or you can just come for a visit, have a tour, have a look around, get to know what we do. And of course, we rely completely on donations. We don't get any government support. Everything we do is reliant upon donations. So we have on our website, you can make a donation either through PayPal or with your card. And we're grateful for anything. We do have a monthly giving program. It's called Love Pasitos Monthly. You can start from $5-$10 a month. And this is really what helps us plan for the future, grow, help more kids. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. The easiest thing is just to Google Pasitos, so PASITOSDELUZ, or Casa Connor, and you'll see us there. You can get in touch.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this and you're ever in the Puerto Vallarta area, you have to stop by, see the team. Chris, you and your team are doing amazing things there in the area. So thank you so much for spending time with us and telling us your story. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And yeah, it's been a pleasure too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.